Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember, you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Also remember the resource of the month, God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew Walker, available for those who stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can acquire your copy on the web at equip.org. Well, today, as I'm sure all of you recognize, is President's Day. We're celebrating the presidents of the United States, and most specifically, we're celebrating the lives of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Washington is most remembered for his inspirational leadership during the American Revolution. And Lincoln, well, Lincoln for his valiant struggle against the horror, against the evil of slavery. Washington was born in 1732, and then Lincoln 77 years later in 1809. Washington could truly be said to be the indispensable man of the American Revolution, the American experiment. He was, said the historian James Flexner, a one-man check and balance on the abuse of power, and decisively so before the Constitution framed that wonderful principle into law. In a similar vein, Abraham Lincoln memorably noted that nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man, well, give him power. This year, as we celebrate President's Day, you and I do well to remember that this very day now marks 211 years from Lincoln's birth. So we're celebrating, in essence, an anniversary. But what we're in danger of so often forgetting is the source of the greatness of Abraham Lincoln. Washington probably summed it up best when he said, "It's not possible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." And Lincoln was someone who governed with biblical language and biblical insight. This weekend I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal titled, "What the Bible Taught Lincoln About America." In this article, Rabbi Soloveitchik notes that in an age of declining biblical literacy, we're in danger, in grave danger, of losing touch with the Bible as the key, the very key that opened the door to Lincoln's greatness. How many of us today will immediately recognize the beautiful parallels between Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and the psalmist's words that we find in Scripture? How many of us recognize that Lincoln's epic words 67 years ago are an echo? They're an echo of the words of David. "The days of our years," said David, "are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 40 years, and Lincoln's words prior to his inauguration, without the help of the divine, I cannot succeed, and with that assistance, I cannot fail, are also an echo. They're an echo of the words of Joshua. Again, they're an echo of the Bible. In Independence Hall, on the occasion of Washington's birthday, Lincoln concluded his remarks in that sacred hall where the Declaration of Independence was signed by saying, "May my right hand forget its cunning and my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if ever I prove false to the teachings of the Declaration." Well, those listening to him in Philadelphia that night would no doubt have recognized that Lincoln's words were a direct allusion to Psalm 137, the psalm that says, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its cunning," writes Soloveitchik. Lincoln's biblical reflections on America reached full flowering in his second inaugural address, an address delivered March of 1865. It was actually more of a sermon than a political speech. It's the most remarkable piece of oratory in American history. Lincoln called his country to repent. He described the Civil War as God's punishment for American slavery. He concluded with the psalmist's declaration that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. While Lincoln saw the Bible as a premier guide to his presidency, modern presidents have all forgotten its significance. Think back to when Barack Obama gave his famed call to renewal speech, a speech in which he asked an assembly of Christian leaders which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy. Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests that slavery is okay, and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Well, he went on, but I'll leave it at that, because in truth, while the Bible as a whole recognizes the reality of slavery, it never, ever promotes the practice of slavery. Those who are biblically literate would immediately recognize that the president was prostituting the words of Scripture. The truth of the matter is that the New Testament goes so far as to put slave traders in the very category of murderers, adulterers, perverts, and liars. Obama's mischaracterizations respecting shellfish are a little more subtle. He is right in suggesting Leviticus characterized the eating of shellfish as an abomination, but he was dead wrong in isolating this injunction from its biblical context. The distinction between clean and unclean foods was actually a symbol of the difference between that which was holy and that which was unholy within the context of an ancient theocratic form of government. As even a cursory reading of Scripture reveals, such ceremonial symbolism was fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who declared all foods clean. What I'm driving at here is that when such prejudices are imposed on Scripture, its tapestry is undone. The loose ends dangle ignominiously. As with Lincoln, when a proper understanding of Scripture takes precedence, the majesty of its tapestry is illumined, and all Americans are vicariously enlightened. We have gone so far from our roots. And today, I suppose, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, my purpose is to draw us back by recalling a time in which Americans heard the words of their presidents and heard the echo of Scripture. The only way that's possible is for you and I to become literate again in our generation. This President's Day 2020, that is my prayer. When we come back from the break, I want to talk more about the significance of President's Day, but also the significance of our beginning a celebration of Holy Lent, a celebration that's coming up in the very near future, a celebration for which we must prepare ourselves. Do remember the resources I talk about on the broadcast each and every week. You can find on the web at equip.org. And my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back.
Many Christians don't know how to respond to the issue of transgenderism. Unfortunately, ignorance is not an option. The Bible is clear on issues of sexuality and gender, making fidelity to the foundations of our faith essential. Andrew T. Walker wrote the book, God and the Transgender Debate, to serve as a resource to equip Christians to understand gender identity from a biblical perspective. To receive a copy of God and the Transgender Debate, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. We'll return with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, what does the Bible actually say about gender identity? Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As I mentioned before the break, we are in the midst of celebrating a great and glorious festival, a festival that I hope you pay some attention to. It is President's Day today. I mentioned that in an article in the Wall Street Journal that I was reading this weekend titled What the Bible Taught Abraham Lincoln About America, we see that Lincoln would speak and he would echo the words of Scripture. And his audience, the Americans by and large, would understand what he was driving at, and that he was quoting the very words of sacred writ. And as noted by historian Paul Johnson, it's almost impossible to imagine any other statesman of Lincoln's era. To imagine someone like Napoleon Bonaparte or Otto von Bismarck giving the kinds of speeches that Lincoln gave. Only Americans were accustomed to seeing themselves in such biblical terms, in such biblical vernacular. And so on President's Day this year, 2020, it continues to be my prayer that as the Bible became increasingly precious to Lincoln, it may become increasingly precious to you as well. The truth be told, today's increasingly secular American culture has lost the key to the mind of Scripture, and as such, they oftentimes turn it into a wax nose. They purpose, in the words of Irenaeus, to weave ropes of sand, and in doing that, they dismember and destroy the truth. Their manner, by way of illustration, is just as if one, when a beautiful image of a king or a president has been constructed by some skillful artist out of precious jewels, should then take this likeness of the man all to pieces, should rearrange the gems, and so fit them together as to make them into the form of a dog or a fox, and even that but purely executed. Worse yet, by drawing attention to the authenticity of the jewels, they deceive the ignorant who had no conception what a king's form was like, and persuade them that the miserable likeness of the fox was in fact the beautiful image of the king. Encountering the devious rearrangement of incarnational jewels that you find in the Word of God, Irenaeus offered an authentic image. He was a faithful perpetrator of the truth of Scripture in his day, and we ought to do the same in our day. I love what another president, and we're celebrating all of the presidents, what President Theodore Roosevelt said. He said that every thinking man, when he thinks, realizes that the teachings of the Bible are so interwoven with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally impossible for us to figure what life would be if those teachings were removed. We would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals, all standards to which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. Poignant words from a president of the United States. Oh, that we might hear those kind of words in our epoch of time. Because the truth is this, like a rock of Gibraltar, a rock that is embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark that fuels our faith and that shatters the waves of skepticism and doubt. There's so many people that doubt the scriptures. So many questions arise. I'm thinking of one right now. This is a question that comes up over and over again. In Romans 13, we're commanded to submit ourselves to governing authorities because there is no authority other than that which is established by God. And so the question arises, what are we to do when governing authorities compel us to do that which is in opposition to God's word, in opposition to God's will? Well, Scripture answers that question directly in Acts chapter 5. When the government demanded that the apostles cease spreading the message of Christ in Jerusalem, the response of the apostles is succinct. It's absolutely crystal clear. They said, "We are to obey God rather than men." Now, the backdrop of this apostolic verity is found in Scripture itself. It's found in the Old Testament. It's there that we see that when Pharaoh ordered the Hebrew midwives to murder their babies, the midwives disobeyed. Moreover, when the Persian king Darius ordered prayer to be made to him alone, Daniel responded in disobedience. And, by the way, when the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar demanded all to worship his towering statue of gold, well, Daniel and his friends did not violate either their conscience or the precepts of their sovereign Lord. My point is simply this. If the ruling authorities require us to do what God forbids, or if the ruling authorities prohibit what God commands, we are to obey God rather than the ruling authorities. This is a very good example of reading Scripture, not only in its immediate context, but also understanding Scripture passages in context of the whole counsel of God. And I, of course, did a flip chart on understanding how to read the Bible rightly. I give the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it. And it's a science in that rules apply. You can find that flip chart on the web at equip.org. In the remaining moments, I do want to mention something with respect to our preparation for the Great Lent. So I want to take a little U-turn here. In our bulletin on Sunday, the Orthodox Weekly Bulletin, we have some information that is so important to us with respect to the prodigal son. Last week, we celebrated a week that prepares us for Lent. It was the week of the publican and the Pharisee. If we're faced toward Christ, we see our own sin as the publican did. But if we turn around as the Pharisee did, turn our back on Christ, then we face the publican and others behind us on the road to the eternal kingdom. And oftentimes we become judgmental. Instead of seeing ourselves humbly, we start to become proud like the Pharisee. This week, as we continue to prepare for the beginning of Great Lent, our holy church, the Church of Jesus Christ, which he purchased with his own blood, places before us the parable of the prodigal. It's a story that graphically points out the impetuousness of our youth. It does so through the character of a young son who impatiently demanded his inheritance and consequently lost everything he had. It's a tale of unconditional mercy as the father in this parable, the father who symbolizes God himself, lovingly welcomes home his humbled, repentant offspring. Says the weekly bulletin, more importantly, the parable of the prodigal son can be likened to each of us looking into a mirror. In effect, this is a story about all of us. At one time or another, every one of us is given in to the same temptations that clouded the thinking of the prodigal son. We have abandoned our father's house and have strayed from the path that has been set before us. We have all foolishly felt that we can make it through life doing things, well, our own way. Inevitably, we must all realize that seeking a life of pleasure cannot bring us true happiness, for this can only be found when we are in communion with God. As St. Augustine tells us, our heart is restless until it rests in the Lord. So it's never too late to rise and go to our Father. He waits for all of us to return to Him. He offers us something far more valuable than a robe, a ring, and sandals. When we repent, He promises us a place in the heavenly kingdom. Prepare for Lent. Don't let it just sneak up on you. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our special celebration of President's Day. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.